KURO Billings Mound Center with a temperature of 31 degrees, warming up to 38 to 43 today. A low tonight, 15 to 20, and then tomorrow's high not quite so warm, 20 to 25 is all the higher the mercury is expected to go tomorrow. 20% chance of snow showers today, 70% tonight, and 60% chance of snow for tomorrow. Then, weather forecaster has predicted a Stockman's advisory for the Billings area today. 6:30 is the time, and KURO in Billings now presents the 20th Century Reformation Hour with Dr. Carl McIntyre. By transcription from Collinswood, New Jersey.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Yes, we're back with you again. This is Carl McIntyre, the 20th Century Reformation Hour, originating today at our home base here in Collinswood, New Jersey. We have our buses going down every week down to Florida to Cape Canaveral, our Bible conference, our Freedom Center. We call it the Gateway to the South. Well, we've had a lot of developments since our broadcast yesterday, both in the radio and the general news field. I'll be passing a lot of these developments on to you, but I'm pleased to tell you that Senator Strom Thurmond, Republican of South Carolina, has made a speech on the floor of the United States Senate in defense of Dr. Carl McIntyre, radio station WSUR. He attacks the so-called fairness doctrine, and he has come right up alongside of Sam Ervin and these other two, well, the two good senators from down in Alabama and North Carolina. Jesse Helms has come out and made his speech. Now, I want to read you from that speech. It's in the congressional record of the day before yesterday. We're going to reproduce it and circulate it all over the country because we're getting some support in the Senate of the United States. And we do have the Rarick bill and companion bills in the House asking for a hearing by the Judiciary Committee on the WSUR case. However, I've gotten two letters in here yesterday, both of which have come from congressmen indicating their sympathy but saying that you can't expect much to happen in Washington so far as these committees are concerned, the Judiciary Committee, until they get through with what they're going to do on the impeachment question. But ladies and gentlemen, our question of free speech, of the free exercise of religion, of the censorship that's been imposed on the radios of this country by the Federal Communications Commission's policies and actions, that takes priority in my judgment. We cannot have a free country unless we have a free press and free speech. There also are developments in New York. I want to pass this on to you. One of the radio stations up there is now in serious trouble with the Federal Communications Commission. This whole thing is going to open up and open up and open up across the country. And I want you preachers, all you preachers who may be listening to me at the present time, please to get down to Washington with us on April the 6th. Get up on the platform with us. You preachers who've had difficulties and troubles, and we know you have, we want you to be with us. And we're going to mount the finest and the most wonderful testimony for our Christian religion, for our right to preach the gospel, for the responsibilities we have to stand up for decency and righteousness and order and freedom in this great country of ours. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, every true Christian under heaven should stand up for the liberty necessary to preach for Jesus, to preach Jesus Christ, his gospel, and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Our liberties have been assaulted and they have been denied on the radio and on the television and in various ways in the United States of America. And I'm calling all of you now to join us, if you will, please, on Saturday, April the 6th, the Saturday before Palm Sunday. Michael Ramsey, the head of the Anglican Church throughout the world, is now retiring from his position as the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's been quite a figure that we've reported at different times, but he's been way over on the leftist side. He attacked the United States bombing, of course, in Vietnam, and he has stood for the communists in many, many issues. Now let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we see these church leaders that have aided the communist cause one after another, and we do ask that our people may be sensitive and they may be alert to these conditions that have developed. And wilt thou give us clergy, preachers, independent preachers, men who will stand up and preach the word in all of its fullness, the whole counsel of God. Now bless our broadcast, bless the stations that are carrying us, and we thank thee especially for the two new stations in Baltimore that have taken our broadcast on and which are stirring this whole area. And we thank thee that thou hast opened these doors in the Baltimore area so that we can again reach people here on the eastern seaboard. We pray, Father, that all our friends and all thy people may appraise the situation which we're facing and stand up and be counted for freedom and righteousness and for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now take care of the big march, and may it be indeed a great one. For we ask it in the name and for the sake of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, there's increasing interest. There ought to be a lot of attention given to this immense rally. It's going to be a big rally, folks. The Lord's people are coming. North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, out through Pennsylvania, east and west, out from the state of Ohio, up from the Buffalo area, New York, up on Long Island. These people are coming. We've got words. They're coming, and we're going to see a great and wonderful testimony to freedom. Now, you people get together from your different states and have your big state banners. South Carolina is going to have a beautiful banner. I don't know about North Carolina. I'm sure they'll come along because they've got every right to be proud of themselves because their two senators, Mr. Irwin and Senator Helms, have taken their stand. And now that South Carolina has Strom Thurmond, who's openly declared himself on the floor of the Senate, we want to get the second senator from South Carolina to do the same thing. This is the way we've got to do, one by one, move on around, and we'll begin to get somewhere, and we can get this whole situation changed. I've been giving you these messages from the book of Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The last book brings to a great climax all that God has been pleased to tell us about his Son. The Bible is God's revelation of his Son. We wouldn't have had the Bible if God hadn't decided to save us. Man was dead and he was under condemnation, and it's only the grace of God that decided to lift man up. And of course, in doing so, God gave us the record of the coming of his Son and how his Son would enter this earth. And the greatest events of all human history are in Jesus Christ. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended into heaven. He's coming back to plant his feet on the top of the Mount of Olives again, to sit upon the throne of his father David, to take over world power and to give us 1,000 years of peace and justice and a rule that will be full of abundance and for the glory of God. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is God's special revelation. It has been added. It's the only place that any special revelation can be found. It is infallible. It is pure, it is inerrant, it is true. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now we have two revelations. One is what we call the general revelation. That's the revelation of God's wisdom and hand and power in the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. And the stars and the heavens and the trees and the birds and the fishes, in fact, everything that has been made in wisdom. It's been made by God, and the general creation bears testimony to the Creator and to the great infinite mind that designed it and to the hand of power which brought it into being. But the general revelation has now been blurred. A curse is on the ground because of the sin of man. And Paul says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain. We're in pain. The physical world about us reflects the presence of sin and the judgment of God which has been pronounced upon it. Consequently, it is not reliable as a guide. We have to have the special revelation, therefore, to give us the full understanding of the general revelation. And the special revelation enables us to look at the creation from the proper perspective in the light of God's great power and purpose. We have the special revelation in order to straighten out the general revelation. Furthermore, the special revelation has given to us Jesus Christ, and he's going to lift the curse off the ground. He's the one who pardons iniquity and gives life eternal to his body, his bride. And the special revelation which speaks of Jesus Christ and his power and glory tells us that the general revelation will be completely renovated. We will someday have a new heaven and a new earth wherein will dwell righteousness. And all the effects of sin and the consequences of God's judgment upon this earth will have been removed by Jesus Christ. Consequently, we judge everything by the Bible and not by the creation. There are those today who tell us that we must judge the Bible by the creation. No, that inverts things and you'll get really twisted up. There are those, therefore, who say that we must take the general revelation and see what's there, and on the basis of science and the findings of science and the like, we must therefore judge the Bible. No, beloved, the general revelation is imperfect as it comes to us because of the effects of sin. The moral evil in man is reflected in the physical evil in nature. Now, please get this balance and please get this perspective. And consequently, when we come to the close of the Bible, the book of Revelation stands out in all of its fullness, and it tells us that things are going to be straightened out so far as the creation or the general revelation is concerned. Oh, beloved, this precious book. Dr. McIntyre is a man that believes the Bible from top to bottom, from cover to cover. It's a special communication that God has given us over the centuries through his prophets and his apostles and through Jesus Christ, the great head and the king of the church. Now, these are mighty basic doctrines. This sets us all in the proper perspective as we live down here and look up into the heavens and wait for the sound of the trumpet. And we wait for the coming of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. McIntyre is taking the stand he is today because he believes these facts. And I believe that this special revelation gives us the law of God. It gives us the standards of decency and morality. It gives us an understanding of the righteousness of Christ himself. And then, of course, it tells us the only possible way in which we can enter the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. It gives unto us all the revelation that God wants us to have. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things to us and to our children. And now Dr. McIntyre comes along, and the great conflict of our day with the leftists and the revolutionaries and those who are taking away our freedom, with the whole worldwide communist conspiracy that now is pushing the United States down as the communists rise to take over world leadership and world power. And Dr. McIntyre standing here in this gap. And I think every American, everybody in Canada, everybody that loves the Lord should pay attention to the realities of this hour. And we should stand up together. And we should stand up in the faith that God Almighty is working a work in our day and that we are to be his faithful witnesses. Now, God bless you. And the Lord take care of you. And may he wonderfully encourage your heart. I was interested last evening in reading Newsweek for March 28th. They have a whole section on Alexander Solzhenitsyn. It's entitled For God and Mother Russia. The thing that interested me here are references to President Nixon and Henry Kissinger in their appraisal of Solzhenitsyn. And may I read, at a cabinet meeting last week, Mr. Nixon began some impromptu remarks about Russian religious writing by saying wonderingly that Solzhenitsyn, quote, is to the right of Barry Goldwater, end of quote. To which Henry Kissinger replied, no, Mr. President, he's to the right of the czars, end of quote. Now, at last, these men down in Washington are beginning to recognize that Solzhenitsyn is standing for the liberation and for the freedom in Russia, and he's spoken out against the repression of religion in the church, and it is perfectly true that this man in his thinking has come over to a position where he thinks the Russian people should have liberty, and if the Russian people got the kind of liberty that he's talking about, they'd have more freedom today than we have under President Nixon and under Mr. Kissinger. This man Solzhenitsyn has been doing some straight, hard, line thinking about human rights, about the freedom of the human soul, and also about the rights of people under God. But isn't it interesting that we have this direct quote? It's in Newsweek for March the 18th, in which the president says that Solzhenitsyn is to the right of Barry Goldwater, to which Henry Kissinger replied, "No, Mr. President, he's to the right of the Czar." Interesting indeed, and this may explain an awful lot of things that are happening in the area of the press now, as in some areas they obviously have given him up and have dropped presenting his case to the Western world. You will be interested in the Communist Daily World for Tuesday, March the 12th, and we have a two-line story here, "Church Leaders Blast Loan to South Africa." Prominent American churchmen have denounced the $250 million multi-bank bank loan to South Africa, apartheid government, this is the communist way of putting the paper, of course, arranged by European American Bank Corporation, a Wall Street concern. And then it goes on to say, and it gives the names of these various churchmen, but because of the Federal Communications Commission, I can't read these names on the air right now, so I'll have to eliminate the names. But here I want to point out to you that these groups, these are the groups, ladies and gentlemen, that are financing, as I've been reporting to you, the guerrillas and the revolutionaries in southern Africa, and they just appropriated another $450,000 out of church funds from the World Catholic Churches in Geneva, Switzerland, to help them. Now, on the other hand, you see, here comes this same company of church leaders. Here they come. And they're objecting to any money that might be put into southern Africa. And so they want to stop the flow of money and bank loans to the southern African government. And they're increasing the flow of money and contributions from the churches to the communist revolutionaries operating down in southern Africa at the present time. It's interesting how they constantly condemn South Africa, but these same churchmen are not condemning Moscow. They're not condemning the Russians. They're not telling people everywhere that they must boycott Russia, like they're telling the people in these industries they must boycott all of southern Africa. It certainly does reveal the slant and the drive, and in this particular approach, they're seeking to aid the cause of the communist world. I have a New York Times for March the 14th. WMCA seeks to reverse FCC ruling on Bob Graham. Radio station WMCA New York has asked the FCC to reverse a decision of the FCC Broadcast Bureau that the station violated the commission's personal attack rules when Bob Grant, one of its interviewers, called representative, and then I'll leave out his name, a Democrat, a blank, and I'll have to leave that out, but it's no four-letter word. It's nothing that's offensive. It is a word, however, on the air. The term was used by Mr. Grant on March the 4th, 1973, when he commented to the audience about blank's refusal to be interviewed by him on the meat boycott that was current at the time. And then it goes on to discuss the violation, if the FCC upholds, the Broadcast Bureau would carry a $1,000 fine. But Peter Strauss, president of WMCA, said that he would go to a greater expense to appeal the decision in the court because an important First Amendment principle is involved. The station's petition to the FCC maintains that its air staff will be inhibited from engaging in, quote, wide open discussions of current events by this decision. No space station can be expected to be able to be to free air personalities from the restraints of imposed self-censorship without making allowance for occasional lapses from good taste or the perfect balance, the brief stated. Now, I give it to you because here's a New York station. One of its commentators made a remark, and they're claiming, of course, that this remark about this representative was not made during the discussion of a controversial issue of public importance. The so-called personal attack rules, according to the FCC, do not apply except during a controversial discussion or the discussion of a controversial issue of public importance. But here it is, folks. Breaking out in New York City, it's breaking out all over the country, and you people must join us in our great First Amendment rally, and we want the radio stations to be free to talk. Why must the government fine them if a man uses a word that the FCC doesn't like or has forbidden them to use? And here I am right now making a broadcast, and I can't use the word. It's not a bad word, but I can't use it. And I can't identify the individuals involved. I just don't dare do it because then somebody might object here. And we can't do it. And all I'm doing now is giving you the idea of the conflict that's involved with the Federal Communications Commission. And that struggle has brought about the death of a radio station. Folks, you people ought to rise up in righteous indignation. But you've got an administration and a government bureau down there that's inhibiting faith. Bringing about a self-censorship which keeps from the American people the right to know. Now, you people ought to be able to hear the name of the man that's involved in this, but I can't give it to you. I don't dare to. We're restricted. I want you people to see these facts. Same thing with the news story. I read you just a few minutes ago. You're supposed to be able to read news stories. But you don't know when names go out on the broadcast and then somebody raises questions and you're in trouble. And consequently, we just simply cannot do it anymore. Yesterday, I pointed out to you in regard to this energy crisis that there was a broadcast from London monitored there and reported on the UPI that the Soviet Union, in Arabic broadcast, is urging nations to resist American pressure to lift the oil embargo. I read a section of that. And now I've got more details in regard to the fullness of that particular broadcast. I did point out to you that the communists were saying, if today some Arab leaders are ready to surrender in the face of American pressure and lift the ban on oil before those demands are fulfilled, they're taking a chance by challenging the whole Arab world and the progressive forces of the whole world, which insists on the continued use of the oil weapons. Notice the communist claim in this that the whole Arab world is joined with their whole progressive world. The communist world and the Arab world are represented here as standing side by side, and any lifting of this ban would be a challenge. Now, as you know, they were going to lift the ban in Cairo, and then they moved over to Tripoli to lift the ban there. And then they are going over to Vienna, and it's supposed to be announced there. And if it is announced, you can rest assured that Mr. Henry Kissinger has paid some terrific price. But what I want to point out to you now, and which is most significant, is this. That it is revealed in Washington, and they too have a quotation now, that this is not a new policy. Administration officials said today that Soviet broadcasts to the Middle East were taking the side of the radical Arab nations opposed to lifting the oil embargo against the United States. Officials said, however, that this did not represent any Soviet shift, rather a repetition of a well-established position. And then we go on and they give you some quotes. These quotes are from Radio Peace and Progress, which of course is put out by Moscow. Today, the broadcast said, attempts are being made to undermine the progressive Arab regimes from within, or at least shift these regimes domestic and foreign policy in the direction desired by the imperialistic West. Russia is continuing a constant bombardment of what is called here U.S. imperialism. The attacks of the radios from the communist countries have not let up. But in our country, the voice of America, in our country, the squeeze has been placed upon the voices that would rise up against communism so that Russia would not be too offended and she would be willing to continue the detente and, of course, the so-called peaceful coexistence. But our government has known we didn't get this, ladies and gentlemen, until it came out of London. And then the government admits that they've known all the time that the Soviets were in favor of the oil boycott and of continuing the oil boycott. And if that's the case, and our government's known it all the time, they have kept this information, of course, from the American public. And this confirms what I've been saying, that the Russians were in there in the beginning with their tanks and their missiles and all their military aid. They've been calling the rounds and the tune to a major extent, and the Russians had a major hand in the initial decision to mount the oil boycott against the United States of America and put us in the position we're in today. May I read you now some of these places where we're going to be out in these rallies? This evening, of course, we're going to be out in York, Pennsylvania, at the Bible Presbyterian Church. Tomorrow night we'll be in the Washington, D.C. area, in Falls Church, at the Grimm Road School, at 3036 Grimm Road. These meetings are at 8 o'clock. Then on the 19th, we're going down to Knoxville, Tennessee, at the Holston High School. The 20th, we'll be at the Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, at 8 p.m., their auditorium. The 21st in Milton, Pennsylvania, the fairgrounds there. March the 22nd, Hollidaysburg Junior High School near Altoona, Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania. March the 25th, we'll be in Norfolk, Virginia, in the Grace Baptist Church. The 26th, March the 26th, in the Lane College Center, Frostburg State Teachers College, Frostburg, Maryland. March the 28th at 7:30 in the High School Auditorium in Valdese, North Carolina. That's the high school that's within the city, not the one that's outside the city limits. And so we're going to be moving on right on up towards the great rally which we'll hold in Washington on the First Amendment March. Now, the preachers and others who can get in on Thursday will be there from different sections to speak to the men in Congress. Friday night, we'll have the big prayer meeting on the east steps of the Capitol. Saturday, the parade will begin at noon down Pennsylvania Avenue, and the great rally will be at 2:30 at the Washington Monument. Folks, get there if you can. All of you be in special prayer for us. But we can't preach the gospel in this country without a free radio, and now the press is under assault in the same manner. And let's stand for the First Amendment rights of the people and of the religious minority. And let's demand, ladies and gentlemen, that we get the same freedom of speech on the radio that you still have in the publication of a newspaper. Now, in this broadcast alone, my friend, you witnessed Dr. McIntyre in a situation where he couldn't read a word, where he couldn't identify man, where he had to eliminate that from the news report for fear of difficulties that might arise. And now we've got another radio station in New York City that's in trouble, and they're talking about their First Amendment rights. Perhaps these radio stations across the country ought to prick up their ears just a little bit, and those that think that it won't happen to them, well, you just wait a little longer, my friend. It will happen to you. It'll happen to the whole country unless we can turn it about. While we have the right to peaceably assemble and to redress these grievances. I'm asking you to write me now for this packet. It has the First Amendment on it. We're giving it to the Congress of the United States. Why this new bill that Congress has before it, Harley Steggers is presenting it. ladies and gentlemen, it makes the Federal Communications Commission 10 times more powerful than it is today. It opens up other fields of action where they're going in, which will further restrain, intimidate, and put pressures upon radio stations. It must not pass. It must not pass. And we want to open up these questions the best way we can, and I want you to write me for the packet which has information in it which I do not feel free to put on the radios here today. Please write me for this information. Folks, get yourself informed. And then remember that the financial support of this broadcast is an absolute necessity. And I appeal to all of you to come through and help Dr. McIntyre. We've had the most difficult time of all our ministry. And I ask all of you to write me today and say, Doctor, I'll help you on a monthly basis. And here's a gift to help you now. That's all. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the 20th Century Reformation Hour. Send your contribution payable to the 20th Century Reformation Hour, Box 962, Billings, Montana.